After his baptism, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he stayed for 40 days. Many of us see time of Lent as a time of discipline, imitating Jesus as he spends 40 days in the wilderness. And in order to help us in our discipline this Lent, let me start with a question. What do you do in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights? Look, I have trouble keeping a Lenten discipline for 40 hours, let alone 40 days. And New Year's resolutions fall sadly into the same category. How long do they last? For me, not very long. So what did Jesus do for 40 days and 40 nights? One thing we hear from our scripture is he fasted. Well, that means he went without food and only a little water. Have you ever tried to adhere to a diet or to any resolve for any length of time? It's easy at first, right? You get all revved up, new resolve, new attitude, you're ready to go. In the first couple of days or weeks, it's relatively easy. There's newness, there's hope, there are rewards to be had. But then the cravings start. And all of a sudden, that piece of chocolate, that baked potato smothered in butter and salt and sour cream, that juicy hamburger looks oh so good. Monotony breeds desire. And with desire comes temptation. Suddenly your resolve slips. You tell yourself that one small piece, one over-the-top meal, certainly can't hurt. I'll continue on tomorrow. But the die has been cast, for before you know it, you're back to your pre-resolve state. So did Jesus spend 40 days and 40 nights in absolute agony, fighting his temptations, driving out fears and desires and temptation and driving them away? When the devil comes to him, is Jesus ripe for giving in to temptation? Has he had enough? Is he seeking some relief? If so, then his battle with the devil is a struggle over giving in to personal desires and cravings. And if that is so, what is the point of this gospel for us? What are we to take away as we enter Lent? Are we being told that our Lenten disciplines will be tough, but Jesus did it, and so with God's help and faith and perseverance, we will too? Try by sheer will to stick to a resolve for 40 days? Persevere and you will be rewarded in the end. That's the way of the Christian. Is that what Lent is all about? Well, it seems to me, if that's what Lent is about, why bother in the first place? As far as I can see, if that's our view, the devil has already won. You don't believe me? Well, let me ask you this. What was Satan's sin? What was it that drove him from God's presence, that separated him forever from God? What was it? The sin of Satan, the devil's sin, was pride. Pride. Pride, according to Webster's dictionary, primarily means being in a state of inordinate self-esteem or conceit. In other words, pride is the epitome of focusing on oneself, on me. If we're driven by pride, it's all about me. I do this to make me better, to make me slimmer, to make me more holy, to make me more acceptable to God. It's all about me. And as soon as we see our Lenten discipline as self-improvement, as nothing more than another resolution, if we only see it as it's all about me, we open ourselves up to the fatal temptation of pride. But there's hope. Let's look at how different Jesus' reaction is. When he's tempted with food, with the cravings of his body, he responds, "One does not live by bread alone." When he's tempted with power and glory, he responds, "Worship the Lord your God and only him." And when he's tempted with desires of his soul to be number one, to be the greatest, he says, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." When Jesus is tempted, he responds in effect by saying, "Look, Satan, it's not about me." But if it's not about Jesus, then who is it about? It's about God. And more precisely, it's about Jesus' relationship with God. It's about putting his relationship with and to God ahead of everything else. It's as if he were saying, "Whatever you offer me, Satan, it pales in comparison with what I have. I have God with me, and that is something you can neither give me nor take away from me. I have God with me, and that is enough. And that will sustain me always." So back to my original question. What did Jesus do for 40 days and 40 nights? Well, honestly, we will never know. But what I do know is that this time in the wilderness was intended by Jesus to be a time he spends alone with God. Sand and silence and God. That was all he had to sustain him. And it was all he needed. Seeking time to be in communion with God seems to me to be the point of Jesus' wilderness experience. And that communion has a name: prayer. We often think we know what prayer is, but too often we don't get it quite right. We often think of prayer as words spoken. But for the most of Christian history, prayer emerged out of silence. When we come to God's presence and talk to God, we have a one-sided conversation. It's all about me, my needs, my desires, the cravings of my heart, or the pain of my soul. It's all about me. Yet when we come into God's presence and are silent, we open ourselves up to listen for God, to listen to God, to listen with God. And when we do that, it's all about God. A few moments ago, I called you to the observance of a Holy Lent. And each of you has to decide for yourselves how you're going to respond. But none of our efforts will bear any fruit, whatever form they take, if they're not first rooted in our desire to have communion with God. Our desire for prayer is perhaps Jesus sought it in the wilderness. Communion with God emerging out of the silence of being in God's presence. So let me suggest to you a possible discipline for this Lent. Find a place in your life to be your desert, where you can set aside a period of quiet time to be with God. Don't set goals for yourself. Just allow the silence to direct you to the next encounter with God. Remember that you're building a relationship with God that takes time. It takes commitment, and it takes a desire to want to continue. Remember, there's no one way to do this. Your journey is unique to you, just as each of you are unique individuals. And the relationship you develop with God will be unique. So do whatever suits you. Whatever it takes for you to carve out time with God in your life. But remember what the aim is. To spend quiet time with God. A time that allows you to be silent and to listen. To listen to the one who loves you more than life itself. In other words, Lent ultimately becomes not a time for you to do something to become acceptable to God, but rather to open yourself up to realize that God loves you just the way you are. And so as each of us embarks on our own Lenten journeys, may God bless you on your journey with God. And may you find God filling your wilderness experiences with a showering of God's grace and love. And if you have to seek anything in this Lent, seek to open yourself to embrace the love that God offers you. Because as I said, God loves you just the way you are and desperately wants you to know that and to respond to God with love. May God be with you on your Lenten journeys. Amen.